If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to be reading verses 35 through 41. If you were here on Wednesday, I talked about failure and falling forward. And I had mentioned a season in my life that I experienced a season of failure. I had embarked upon and launched, planned, launched, and closed a church plant right around the year of 2000. The Lord gave me a vision, and I executed that vision in obedience, but it was a failure. It didn't come to fruition to that which God had shown me. And I don't regret doing it. Matter of fact, as I had shared on Wednesday, God was in process with Brad. God was working in Brad and with all the students who were involved. And in some respects, it was a perfect storm. Some of you have heard about the movie or maybe have read the book, The Perfect Storm. When the movie came out in 2000, is right around the time that my church closed. And the premise of the movie, the book, and again the movie, was that there were certain occupying, contributing factors that caused this storm to bring about Massachusetts in an area called Gloucester. And my limited understanding of climate and weather patterns was that it was a trifecta of three things. One was warm air coming from one pressure system. Another pressure system was bringing in fast and furiously cold air, all the while dealing with another pressure system coming down from above, which was a tropical moisture front. In combination, this was a deadly cocktail and almost unmanageable. In any kind of vessel, again, off the coast of Massachusetts. And it was a reminder, really, that there are certain things in our lives, if you give any one of them attention, and if it's only one, you can handle it, right? Like maybe a loss of a job, or a death of a loved one, or an illness. Given any one of those things in particular, if they're hitting you one at a time, you can manage them to a degree. It's not easy. It brings us to our knees. That is a sound effect from these subs. Thank you, Doug. Kidding. Thank you, Lord. That was a wink from heaven. Stay tuned, y'all. Let's take an offering. No, kidding. I'm playing. But any one of these things individually, we can manage to some degree. But when we're hit with one, two, and three, it can be absolutely devastating. Back to my failed church plant, I was dealing with three things. One, it was inevitable that this church plant was going to run out of money within weeks. So there was a financial storm. I had character issues. I very quickly got puffed up. I was dealing with pride. I had the best talent and Christian talent in Boston, for that matter. My worship team consisted of students that played a variety of instruments from Berklee School of Music and New England Conservatory. And the list went on. And I very quickly got puffed up and very prideful on what I was able to acoustically offer, musically offer the congregants. We went from a couple of dozen people to over 150 consistently. We were the talk of the town with college students. But my character couldn't handle it. So we had money issues. I had character issues. And then I had a strained relationship with my bishop, almost simultaneously, with this growth and with the launching and the releasing. There was just tension. There was a tension in the air. And much of it was my fault. It was connected to that pride. So I had a trifecta of storms, really, that were brewing. And inadvertently, it caused the demise of the church. Well, storms and storms in life are nothing new. Jesus deals with this actual issue, not necessarily the trifecta effect, although my understanding, my limited understanding of what can happen very quickly on the Sea of Galilee, there probably was a bit of a trifecta, at least two contributing factors very quickly that came upon the disciples and Jesus in a boat. Mark chapter 4, follow along. Familiar portion of Scripture, but follow along as I read and refresh our memory. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowds behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I wonder if Mike Lindell got this, his business venture from this. If it's good enough for the Lord, it's good enough for all of us. Sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and he said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Looking at this portion of Scripture, I want to just briefly go through four characteristics of the storm. And if you got pen and paper, I would just encourage you to write these down, although I can proudly announce that these sermons now are up online. We have a beta version website. The website's up, and it's the beta version. We're still tweaking it. We're still adding things, so be patient. But the sermons are up online. But I encourage you to take notes. Whenever I take notes while I'm listening to a sermon, it increases my ability to retain and to focus. Four characteristics of this storm, and what I believe Jesus is reminding the readers as he inspires the authors, in this case, Mark's account of this story, to each and every one of us. The first characteristic of a storm seems like that Jesus oftentimes, if not always, from the time of conversion, moving forward in our lives, brings us into contact with the storms of life. Look at verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side." Now, just a few chapters earlier, Jesus is talking to the masses, and he's in a boat. The crowds are so overwhelming, he actually gets into the boat, and he takes advantage of the lakeside, where they can actually sit and listen to Jesus, and I'm sure that there had some kind of an amplifying effect to this dynamic. He's in the boat. His audience is in front of him. Maybe he's flanked on his left and on his right with the disciples and maybe some other closely knit followers and friends, but he's sitting in a boat and he's talking and he's been preaching all day. And when he's done, he gets in a boat and he says, "We're going to go to the other side." He doesn't say, "We're going to go to the other side and maybe we're going to make it or maybe we won't." He just simply says, "We're done here and we're going to go to the other side of the sea." So they get in with a couple of other boats, and they row across. And all of a sudden, this storm comes whipping down into the valley, the lake, the sea. And the winds are blowing. And Jesus, being exhausted after preaching for who knows how long all day, he is taking a nice, well-deserved nap. But he was the one that said, "Let's go." He's leading them in some respects. If you look at this and stand back, he's leading them into a storm. And you know, that's true for many of us. We hear a directive from God. We hear from God, marry that person, take this job, go over here for vacation. You know, fill in the blank. We sense, we have that peace that surpasses sometimes, more times than not, our exact understanding, but we just know the hand of God is on our decision-making process, right? And it seems like he's leading us to these places, to these people, and then something hits the wall. A storm comes out of nowhere with this relationship, with this setting, with this job. Again, you fill in the blank. And you're saying, Lord, did I hear you? Are you for real? Look, I labored in prayer. I offered it up in prayer. I had friends praying for me. I heard from you, and I am walking out, stepping out in obedience, and here comes this storm? Really? Jesus directs us to places that may have turbulent waters. He may be directing us to places, situations, relationships that are going to be difficult. They're going to be traumatic oftentimes. There's going to be tension and things that we have to flesh out. But we're still the light of the world, right? We're still the light in these dark places. And figuratively, we're walking in darkness when we as light are going and trafficking in this world. Quite literally, they were in darkness. I can't imagine it being a clear sky. No, I think it was overcast and thunderous and cloudy and their surroundings were dark places. But he brings us as light to dark places. John chapter 8, verse 12 says this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We in and of ourselves are the light. We cast out darkness, but we still go to dark places. We still have to go with that, God, I've heard your voice. I'm going in obedience. I'm the light in these dark places. Regardless if it's sunny or stormy, I am with you. I am walking in obedience. So the first characteristic is God brings us. He guides us oftentimes to places that we would characterize as, that was a storm. That was a tumultuous period of my life. The season had these twists and turns I just simply did not see. Number two, the storm arrives quickly. Comes up, sometimes out of nowhere. Look at verse 37. A furious storm, quote, came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Did you see that? It just kind of came up. And historians say that that was very characteristic. Even to this day, when you're on the Sea of Galilee, these things can come really out of nowhere. And I know in the South here, in Texas and other parts of the South, likewise, storms can just, it'll be sunny all day, and then this here comes this gully washer about 3 o'clock, right? The humidity is so thick, you could cut it with a knife, and boom, these storms just come up. That's kind of what's going on in the Sea of Galilee, that these things just kind of, all of a sudden, dark clouds roll in and it's thundering and lightning and you got to pull over. Your windshield wipers can't even keep up with the rain. Storms can arrive so quickly that it can knock us off our feet. And we're saying, what is that? What is going on? Again, God leads us and here come the storms and we're scratching our heads. What is going on? I thought that book I read from that minister on TV, he said, after I became a Christian, life was going to be much easier. I'm not trying to indict any minister or ministry, but American Christianity oftentimes believes this lie that hard times, storms, will not hit the believer if they're walking in obedience and if they're doing the right things and if they're sending that preacher money. That's not the Bible. That's not biblical. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 says this. This is Paul, somebody who is soaking with God's anointing, walks in the Spirit of Christ, day in and day out. Listen to what he says. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent the night and a day in open sea. I have been constantly on the move. He goes on. I have been in danger from rivers, in dangers from bandits, in dangers from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city and in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger in false believers. I have labored and toiled. In other words, I have been obedient and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. Wait a minute, doesn't God always abundantly provide each and every moment at a snap of the finger? I don't know. Let's read on. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily pressures of my concerns for the churches. That's Paul. How about us? How about us? Walking with Christ, I wouldn't trade it for anything. There is a peace. There is a satisfying joy. There is the manna from heaven every day that we choose to experience it. But we will still walk through the junk of this world, the trials of life, especially as we advance the kingdom. Our target goes from here to here to here to here on our backs as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. I look at this list and I'm like, man, this guy, talk about having a bad day. You know that song? They usually play it in and around the NFL season, you know. So you had a bad day. I think Train actually wrote the song. Paul could sing this almost every day. I've had a bad week. No, I've had a bad month. I've had a bad, you know, six. I've had a bad year. When we're doing and we're going, and our light is shining brightly, stuff's going to happen to us. Failures will come and go. Storms will come, and they will go. You say, I'm tracking with you, Pastor. Gotcha. I know. God says go. We go. I go. And I experience the storm. I'm tracking with you. But what about number three? Verse 38. Oftentimes, we blame Jesus after we experience the storms. Verse 38 says, Jesus was in the stern. He was sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if I drown? Don't you care if we drown? Like, their knee-jerk reaction is, it's your fault. We're doing exactly what you told us to do. Don't you care? Like, they're questioning Jesus' character. They're questioning his love for them. Now, Jesus has already demonstrated his love. He has plucked them out of the crowds. He has been working with them. He has been providing for them. He heals the sick. He is doing miracles. They know this Jesus. He's a good guy. He's really good. His character is not of question. And yet, when the storms of life come, their first knee-jerk response is, don't you care if we drowned? How many would confess when we experience a season of failure or, man, this just is so uncomfortable. God, don't you care? Where are you? Look at how many days I went to church. Look at how I've served. How, you know, all the things I've done for you. And this is the way you treat me? What are you doing? What are you doing, God? Steven Johnson of the Buffalo Bills, wide receiver. They're down to the last few seconds. And they have an opportunity to beat the Steelers. And he drops the pass. I mean, the quarterback just hit him right in the digits, and he dropped it. And he went out on Twitter after the game, after the Bills lost the game to the Steelers. He says, I praise you 24/7, Steven says. And this is how you do me? You expect me to learn from this? Question mark, question mark, question mark. How? Question mark, question mark, question mark. I'll never forget this, exclamation point. Wow. Now, we can say, man, come on. Look at how blessed you are, the talent. I mean, you just dropped the ball. You can't be perfect all the time. And we can sit in judgment, and then I've been there. Stephen's just like Brad. Coming out of my failed church plant attempt, I remember hanging my head low. God, I heard from you. I gathered the leadership. They heard from you. I raised the money. We had it. You opened the door to this facility. We set up chairs. We did all of this. We were reaching the masses in Fenway Park. The numbers were going. And you do me like this? You pull the plug on my church plant? See if I ever respond to the call of you again. I may not have used those words, but that was my attitude. It took me months, really a year, to get through that failed attempt. Hearing from God. Not being able to fully understand the storm and what I needed to do. Number four, fear. Look at verse 40. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? So he brings all of this together as a faith issue. They are without the faith to make it through the storm. And in hindsight, that's what Brad's problem was. That's what many of our problem is. The fear to some degree is understandable, but the faith factor could be completely lacking. He says, why are you so afraid? Do you have no faith? So the fear should launch us into, consider it pure joy, my friends, whenever you suffer trials or tribulations, because I know what you're doing. You're building perseverance in me. I need to grab hold of faith. And not just run in the other direction because I'm afraid. When we have onsets of fear, those waves of fear, when we see the storm clouds coming, when it gets tough, what do? We just, okay, I'm just going to get low. I'm going to get on my knees. Grab hold of my faith. Because that's what's going to see me through the storm. I take heed to these words of Jesus. You still have no faith? He's saying that to us. When you're facing something, do you have faith to see it through? Psalm 46, 1 through 13. I'm going to wind this down. I'm going to bring this baby in for a landing here. Psalm 43, verses 1, 2, and 3. God is our refuge, the psalmist says, and strength, and ever-present help in trouble, in the storms of life. Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the sea, figuratively speaking, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surges, I will trust in you. I will have faith in you. In the New Testament, one of my favorite passages, 1 Peter chapter 5, cast all your anxieties on him. Because he cares for you. Discipline yourself. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around you, hurling storms. That's an insert from Brad. Looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Steadfast in your fear? No, faith. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. That's his response. That's good news, church. That's really good news. Hebrews chapter 11, again, another one of my favorites. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And the disciples knew where they were going. Do you get the theme of God here? Do you get the application? It's faith. In that moment of fear and uncertainty, the storms come, but we will walk in faith, knowing He's got this. He's got this. He's got it. You know, Jesus is so gracious. He's so willing to work with His disciples. We see it. You hear the exhaustion sometimes, like, how long do we have to go through this, disciples? I mean, we've been through this. I mean, do you remember last week? Do you remember last month? I mean, you kind of hear that tone from Jesus. But again and again and again, His MO, His mode of operation with the disciples, even after something like a denial and fleeing when He goes to the cross, He's there with grace and forgiveness. He's there for the long haul. The Bible says He's long-suffering. That's a chief attribute of God. So take comfort, church. Wherever you are in the storm of life, if you're in one and you're questioning God's goodness, wherever you are in the area of faith or the lack thereof, know that God's gracious and merciful. He will fill us up time and time again. He will pick us up. He will be that strong tower. He'll be that strong tower in our lives to let us go through the storm and to make it on the other side. They didn't die. He woke up. He calmed the storm. He made it a teachable moment. And they went on to advance the kingdom and to fulfill the purpose that God had for each and every one of those disciples, except for the one. That's comforting. That's the God we serve. He's there in the storms. He is there in the storms. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You once again for this.